letting go of my nursing registration wasn't a flippant decision that I just made off the cuff. It was actually a choice I'd been pondering for years. But here's what most people won't tell you. Keeping my nursing registration kind of felt like a leash to an identity that I'd outgrown. Welcome to the Nursepreneur Academy podcast, where nurses like you discover how to break free from the bedside and build a flexible, profitable business using the skills, knowledge, and experiences you already have. I'm your host, Liam Caswell, an RN turned full-time six-figure nursepreneur. In 2021, everything changed for me in my career. I left my senior nursing role to build an online nurse-led personal brand. One that gives me the freedom to work from anywhere, leverage the skills the hospital paid me to learn, and create both the income and impact I always knew I was capable of. Now it's your turn. I'm here to show you the possibilities beyond bedside and help you transition into a nurse-led business that fits your needs and life. Whether you dream of working from home, earning what you're truly worth, or making an impact on your own terms, I'm going to guide you every step of the way. Together, my friend, we'll make traditional nursing as you know it, optional. Now let's get down to it and let's build your profitable business. So in this episode of the Nursepreneur Academy, I'm sharing the real reason why I deregistered as a nurse after years of toying with the idea, fighting with myself over it, crying over it, and wondering what it would mean for who I am. Because let's be real, like if you're clinging to your nursing registration purely out of fear, it's keeping you energetically tied to a life that you no longer want to live, and that's probably keeping you playing small, and that was definitely what was going on for me. So here's what most people get wrong when it comes to nursing deregistering, and like there's so much fear that surrounds this that I think we have to talk about it. I think people think when you deregister that you're giving up on nursing and that all of the work that you've done is like a sunk cost. And all of a sudden, it means nothing. All the sacrifice, all the shift work, all the impact on your system, you know, your stress, like all of the things, it means that you're giving up on nursing and therefore there's a sunk cost. And I feel like there couldn't be less truth in that, in the sense that when you do finally choose to deregister, it allows you to break free from the traditional confines of the system and create a life and a path that you would never have previously considered. So it's an interesting one. The other thing that people think about or get wrong about deregistering is that it makes you less of a nurse. I mean, like, how do we even measure how much of a nurse someone is? Like, I've had this comment before, like, you're less of a nurse because you work online. I'm like, well, one, who gives a fuck? And two, how do you measure that? Like, how do you actually measure that? And like, most of these people hate being a nurse. So I'm like, why am I even concerned about this? So that's something that's come up for me as well. A lot of people, this is really common, think that it's reckless to give up your registration. Now, I'm not saying you should just like walk in and deregister, right? Obviously context, I'm going to give you that in a second. But a lot of people think that you should just like deregister. Like if you deregister, it's super risky. And like, what are you going to do? Like you've let go of the security of a toxic job that creates like an impending sense of doom every single day for you that stresses you out, burns you out, has you wanting to divorce your partner, you know, wants you, has you sacrificing everything that you want to do with your life for the job itself. Yeah, like that's secure. That's some crazy version of security, right? And so I have an opposite view on it when we think about giving it up, because we create our security ourselves. A job doesn't give us security. That is a corporate BS lie, your healthcare, keep you playing small bullshit story that people are fed and we all buy into it. And so that my truth, the real reason why I deregistered is because I felt like it was the most logical next step for me. And it also was bittersweet in the sense that like I couldn't get the right information to make an informed decision, so I did what I think was right, and that might shoot me in the foot moving forward, but I did what I had with the information I had at the time, and that's all I can really ask for myself. So it was important for me to deregister for a couple of reasons: for myself, for my own identity, and not having one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. Like if I introduce myself nowadays, I introduce myself as an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a coach, and I will say I'm a nurse by background, but I now help nurses, you know, quit their job and leave the system and build a profitable business. And that usually gets people's attention. But I just kind of got fed up of sitting with the identity of like, I'm a nurse. Just didn't feel right anymore because I'm not. And it's not what I do. And if you put me in an ICU today, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. And so is that safe for me to be able to do that? And I think a lot more people could have this honest conversation with themselves. And I won't go there, but there's like a lot of people that are on the register that I know personally have not registered, like practiced for over 5 years. And they're still registering as full clinical nurses. Now, this is where the APRA rules around 450 hours is so vague. So vague, in fact, that when I called APRA, they couldn't even tell me that. Of course, then it allows people to just register and potentially not have done the hours. So I did it for me and my identity, and I did it for me and my partner's life. Like where we're at over the next 6 to 12 months, we may potentially be posted again overseas with my partner's work, which is an incredible opportunity. And why would I turn that down? The last thing that I would do is have nursing hold that have this bloody hold around me that like, oh, I better do like 12 clinical shifts before I go so that when I come back in 3.5 years time, I can come back to the system that I hate so much. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not in my future. It is not my path. And so, you know, if we get posted, we will be overseas for the next 3 to 4 years potentially. And that might happen, it might not happen. But I just thought, well, if it does happen, then how would I maintain my hours, honestly? And if it doesn't happen, then would I even do it anyway? I haven't done it up until this point over the last 4 years. As per APRA's definition of like clinical hours, I haven't gone and done like one shift a month because I don't want to. And my time is better spent on my business and on myself and on my clients. And so because I'm able to generate much more than what I could generate in nursing online, it becomes that like opportunity cost. Why would I go and do a 12-hour day just to keep my foot in, my hand in, and keep the skills up that I'm never going to use again? Yes, I miss looking after people and I miss going in and I miss the camaraderie and I miss, you know, just being really good at something and like not constantly needing to learn and upskill, like just going in and doing a job for 12 hours and walking away. Like I miss that because in business, it's not what it's like. But like those skills are not future Liam skills. Future Liam doesn't give a shit whether or not you can manage the dose of noradrenaline and like, or whether you remember how much propofol you give or like how to extubate a patient. He doesn't give a shit. So I was just like, no, it's not a good use of my time. And when I really sat with that, I thought to myself, no, I get to use that time to double down on my business and to build a vehicle and a business that allows me to just be so happy that I made that decision. Because here's the thing. I think a lot of people go, okay, we're going to deregister and therefore it's risky and it's less secure. And then they buy into that narrative and that story that they told themselves about deregistering becomes a reality because they don't take any new actions. Whereas I operate differently because I have trained myself to operate differently, having gone through so much trauma and stress in the system and also in my life, right? So that's why when I teach in the Nursepreneur Academy, I always start everybody with the self-coaching model. We self-coach ourselves so that we can assume self-responsibility and self-leadership and come out of that victim mentality that healthcare, you know, creates within us because we are victims of the system and it makes total sense. But we learn to overcome that through self-coaching and self-leadership. It's only then that you take those narratives and those stories that you run and you create a different outcome. Until that point, most of us would just continue to loop, okay? Like, I'm going to deregister. Oh, it's so unsafe. Well, you know, the actions that I take make it unsafe. So therefore, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? This is exactly what happens. Our brain is so good at creating what we think. That is how the world goes around. And so when you tell yourself that story, if you are planning or looking at deregistering, you have to make sure that you don't need to be able to go back to nursing and to rely on that registration. And the reality is, if I wanted to go back, I could go back. I could just go and do the 3 months. I've worked in plenty of hospitals. I would volunteer my time and I would go and do the 3 months and I would return to practice. Hopefully that's not in my future. That's not what I plan to be doing based on the fact that I now have a skill set that I know can transcend that and I don't need to go back to nursing, which is why I talk a lot about making nursing optional. So I went on a little rant there. But the context of the narrative of the story is that I probably did my last clinical-ish shift in about 2021, kind of post-COVID, COVID time, And if I look back at like my roles, the last like full-time paying role that I had was in 2021. And since then, I've been a nurse-led business, generating my own income online as a business. And so when I called at Prague, because I've been sitting with this for a while and I've spoken to a few nursing friends and everybody's advice was the same. Don't do it. Don't give up your nursing registration. And I was like, why? Like, you know, what do I need it for? And no one could really give me an answer. So anyway, I called APRA, having looked at their website and sat on their website for ages, trying to work out what constitutes 450 hours of practice. Now, with the CPD requirements and all of that, I have smashed that out of the park. I have done so much CPD, like, for a lifetime. So I wasn't worried about that. But I constantly had this fear on my mind around the 450 hours. And I kept thinking to myself, have I done enough? Like, have I done it? When does it run out? And what constitutes these hours? And I probably should have been more proactive around it. And I have heard from different sources, including APRA, actually, when they had a stall at a conference that I was at, where they basically said, yeah, what you do constitutes towards your 450 hours. Because if you look at the data, you know, I've had over 100,000 downloads of this podcast, which means there's like over 100,000 potential nurses or hours of consumption that have occurred from this podcast alone, which is, you know, more than 450 hours. This podcast's designed to educate, inspire, motivate, empower nurses, right? So could you argue that there's a direct impact on nurses personally and professionally from this podcast? I think you could say yes, right? Some episodes I just ran. Other episodes I provide value. Okay, that's what happens. Now, when it came to, so that's a 450 there. When I think about my coaching, like I've coached hundreds of nurses. I've easily done over 1,000 hours of coaching, very easily. And so that also technically would comply. And so I was like, oh, I have all of this data. Let me just go to the source and find out. The website, hopeless. Couldn't get a clear, straight answer. When I called them up, they were lovely. I had to wait for about 20 minutes, but that's fine. I hate waiting on the phone. And the music on that like was like funeral music. I was like, not good. But obviously there's some psychology behind it. Anyway, I called them up and I spoke to this lovely woman and she also had no idea. She had to like go back and forth. Oh, I just need to put you on hold. I'm just going to check. And she was like, oh, it's a bit vague. It's a bit ambiguous. Like 450, like, I feel like you have done it. And I was like, well, I want to be confident. She was like, well, I can't really advise you. You know, our job is not to advise. Like, actually, what we're supposed to do is send you back to the website. And I was like, well, that's not very helpful because the website is not beneficial. So anyway, after a bit of back and forth and like checking in, I was curious. I was like, well, what happens if I register, noting that I know people that have registered that have not been clinical or done anything, aka retired 5 years ago, and they're still registering, what then happens? And she was like, oh, well, you know, it's judged on an individual basis, and therefore, you know, APRA will reach out to you, and you'll have to provide evidence of your errors, and then it'll be reviewed. And I was like, so I could technically register. If I get caught, I could then deregister, and then I take it from there. And they were like, yes. She didn't say yes, but that was effectively what, you know, the outcome was. I was like, okay. So I was kind of no further forward with that call. And I just decided that I think that I should probably explore non-practicing registration. So she talked me through it. I still get to use the title nurse, which I thought was important for my brand. But then when I think about it, I was like, it's not that important. No one has ever said, are you sure you're a nurse before you teach me how to build a nurse-led business? I'm like, the reality is we're not building nurse-led businesses. We're building human-led businesses. And you just happen to be a nurse and so do I. And I happen to understand you better than most business coaches would. So therefore, that's why I would be a great fit for you. So, you know, it's like, oh, human to human, like we actually are building human-led businesses, not nurse-led businesses, but that's a rant for another day. And so I spoke to her about that. And so I get to maintain the title of nurse. I get to talk about all the things that I do, but I can't say that I'm a practicing nurse, okay, which I'm totally fine with. And we also have to maintain, like, you know, comply with the APRA scope of practice, so on and so forth. So I don't think that it's something long-term that I'll continue. I don't know. It's very raw. It's very just in the moment. And I'm just sharing it with you. Because no one talks about any of this stuff because they're so terrified of APRA. When I spoke to her on the phone, she was like, oh, really? People are scared? I'm like, yeah, they're terrified of APRA. Like, I was actually really scared to phone and to ask the question because I thought, what if I'm blacklisted? What if I'm put on like a hot list? What if they like do X, Y, and Z? And I was like, Liam, stop it. Like, just do make the phone call. But so many of us I know can relate to that because we hear the horror stories and I guess we don't hear any positive stories about it. So the non-practicing versus practicing thing was not something that I ever considered being a reality for me. I did not start nursepreneur business to become non-practicing or to get rid of my registration. I thought it would always be a part of me. However, when I sat down and I scoped it out, it just made logical sense because the reality is, and this is what I teach our nurses in the Nursepreneur Academy, when you learn how to build a business online and leverage your skills, knowledge, and experience and you package up your expertise in a way that helps somebody go from A to B and they get a transformation and you land on a niche that's profitable and you create an amazing offer and you follow the process that I teach, you will have a six-figure skill set, which means that for the rest of your life in this booming creator economy, which is worth billions of dollars, you will be able to rinse and repeat and generate your nursing salary online and then some if you choose to. So I was in that situation where I was looking back over the last 4.5 years and I thought, I've generated over $700,000 online now. In the last 12 months, I've generated over $230,000. I've got the skills, the knowledge, experience to start a business tomorrow if everything was taken away from me. And I would achieve my goals much faster every single time I had to restart. Now, that's not me being overly confident and cocky. It might come across that way. But the reality is, the more you do something, the better you get at it, right? So like if you missed a cannula the first time, the 20th time, you're going to miss less cannulas. The same is true in building your business. And the reality is, we're so multifaceted and multi-passionate that we can do whatever the hell we want to do. And that is liberating and also terrifying at the same time. For example, if my business fell apart tomorrow, and I could no longer do what I'm doing today, I would go into being a podcast coach, or I would set up a podcast production agency. I know how to do all of this. I've done all of this. I would become an email marketing coach. I would help businesses set up their email marketing systems. Like, I've done all of that. And there's somebody in the market that would need the level of skill that I've got and that I've achieved. And in fact, most coaches, most online businesses don't achieve what I've achieved. So I could just continue to do it through a different lens. Like maybe I don't work with nurses, I just work with life coaches. Or maybe I don't work with life coaches, but I work with X. And so the reality is, what is a safer, stable path? Is it to stay in the system, maintain my registration, be a good nurse, play by the rules? Or is it to make the hard decision, take a quote-unquote risk? But honestly, this is the most safe risk that I've ever taken in building a business because I am myself again. I can look after myself. I've lost 15 kilos. I generate more income than I need, to be quite honest. And I have the ability to scale this without having to manage 300 people, without having to report to the CEO, without having to, you know, I don't know, like send emails at 3 a.m. in the morning because I'm a director of nursing and I'm burnt out and I'm hating my life. And I'm also 20 kilos overweight. Like, no, thank you. So for me, it was like that deep assurance that I've gifted myself the ability to create a business and to be able to do it. And when I look back, High Performance Nursing was a multiple six-figure business. Aussie Nurse Recruiter's six-figure business. And we were building towards that in the first year. And then now with the Nursepreneur Academy, you know, it took me 2.5 years to become a six-figure business with High Performance Nursing. I think actually longer, I think 3 years in. And then that took me so long because I was dabbling and I was throwing shit at the wall, and it does not need to take you that long. Nursepreneur Academy cracked six figures within the first 12 months. Like, we've effectively, in the last year, we've generated $230,000 is what I said earlier, around $230,000 in 12 months. So imagine tomorrow if I had to start a new business, I could generate that again, and maybe I'd launch at a higher price point and do something different, and I'd generate $300,000. The more you do something, the better you get at it. So for me, it made sense to drop from registering to non-practicing because my time is better spent in my business. I get more dollar per hour in my business and the opportunity cost is there. The other reason is because The future of the world and the economy is online. With the rise of artificial intelligence, digital education, knowledge-based businesses, influencers, you can make nursing optional. There is something that you have that people will pay you for that you could leverage in the online space that would allow you to make nursing optional. And you probably think that it's nothing. You're probably like, oh no, I've got no skills. I can't do anything. But here's the reality. Every single one of you listening has something you can monetize. Doesn't mean that everybody should do it. Doesn't mean that everybody can do it. Well, you can. It's whether you choose to create that result for yourself or not, because the process is clear. And it's there, but it's whether or not you allow yourself to do that. You gift yourself the opportunity. But the future is online. And with the rise of AI, it's going to impact healthcare. It's going to impact business. There's never been a better time to be able to take something out of your lived experience, monetize it, and help someone just like you transform without all of the bumps on the way, right? So that is what I've done with the Nursepreneur Academy. I've taken 4.5 years of nurse-led business building, and I've condensed it into a 12-month framework and program because I know that it takes that long. So I'm not going to lie to you and say 12 weeks, give me $10,000, 12 weeks, boom, 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 your nervous system's overwhelmed, you haven't built shit because you're still struggling to find your niche. Like, I've done all of that. I've paid for all of those programs. They're hellish. I wanted to be the exception. I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to be supportive, co-regulatory, and actually get you to the goal. And so every one of you has that skill to be able to do that and to be able to go from where you are now to building a six-figure business. It's whether or not you give yourself permission to do that, right? But when you do, you allow yourself to make nursing optional. Might not be your goal right now, but as you grow and you develop and you go, oh, I can make $100,000 in 12 months working online and I don't have to do shift work and I get to drop the kids at school and I get to go to the gym and finally look after myself and eat what I want to eat and I get to go on holiday and I get to work from anywhere in the world and my time is my own. Like, that is why I chose to step back and to go from practicing to non-practicing. I also chose to do it because I wanted to be an example of what's possible. Because there are a lot of people out there that have successful businesses as nurses, you know, education space, tech space, agencies, but everybody kind of maintains a registration. I like to be different. So I was like, oh, I'm going to just deregister. I didn't think that, but I'm going to deregister and show people that if this is not the path that you see yourself on anymore and you've outgrown the career, then let it be. And be reassured with the fact that you've equipped yourself with the skills to be able to go out there and build something that allows you to make nursing optional. And I wanted to show people that they're not trapped by their degree, your hours or your nursing registration, right? You're trapped by the beliefs of what you can do. The beliefs that you hold about what you can do is what's trapping you. So I'm not going to lie, like there was drama around the deregistration process. They sent me an email on the Friday after me applying on the Wednesday and it said, I quote, you're no longer registered was the subject line, which I thought was a little impersonal. And the email was even more impersonal. I definitely think they could work on their deregistration process. But I was like shook. I was like, oh my God. And I had this like overwhelming fear that like flooded my body. And I thought to myself, what do you mean I'm deregistered? Like I'm completely unregistered, like deregistered. That's not what I asked for. And so I let it sit over the weekend because for me, it's not important. Like I didn't need to go to shift or whatever else. And I phoned them on the Tuesday following and they were like, oh no, we made a mistake. And so that was a really interesting experience for me. And just seeing like your 10 plus 12 years, like there was no sentence in that email that was like, thank you for your contribution. It was just like, you're no longer on the registration board. You know, we've removed you from the online space. Good luck. You know, it didn't even say that. I was like, thank you. I was like, oh God, it's very, very impersonal. Definitely wasn't written by a nurse, that's for sure. And so that was a really interesting process. But honestly, since then, and knowing that I am on the non-practicing register for the time being, I feel really free about it. I feel really clean and like I made the right decision. And it's really interesting because everybody, I shared the story online and everyone that saw the post online on the Nursepreneur Academy Instagram page, one, it got so much attention, which I did not expect. And two, so many people messaged me and they were like, congratulations, like, thanks for being a role model. And I was like, really taken aback. I thought, oh, people want this. Like, people are really interested. This is why it's always very interesting to pay attention to your audience and what they want and to listen to them. Because I have previously held back from that messaging because I think that people want to maintain their nursing and they don't want to, like, quit. But I think people are just fucked and they're like, no, I just want art. Like, help me get art and find a way out that's going to give me more freedom and more income. So that was really, really interesting. Then I had a few emails from some beautiful, amazing Nursepreneur Academy friends and colleagues. And they were like, you didn't need to give your registration up. Like, here's a document. And like, it very clearly dictates X, Y, and Z. And honestly, I didn't even look at the documents. I didn't even entertain the idea because I was so grounded in the decision. And I just thought, this is the right thing for me. It's the right thing for the business. It's the right thing for my attention. And as I said, I'm still on the register. I'm just non-practicing. So it gives me permission to still, you know, leverage the title of nurse, but non-practicing, and still have that as part of my identity. But it did allow me to stop worrying about my hours, about being audited, compliance, also being reported. Like, when you're online, there's a couple of nurses recently that have been reported for nothing. And that's a process. Who wants to go through that process? These nurses have been reported just because somebody's disgruntled and doesn't like someone, or, you know, didn't like something that they said. And these nurses then have to go through like 6-month processes with APRA. Hell to the no, like, not for me. And so it allowed me to step into my nursepreneur CEO identity, not as a nurse with a business, but as a business owner who used to be a nurse. And I think that's really freeing. And I'm really proud of myself for that. And I don't say things like that enough, but I'm proud that I made that decision, because past Liam would have been like, the fuck are you doing? What the hell are you doing, Liam? Do not give it up. You're like, you might need it one day. But I think I've done so much work on myself to be able to see that that day's not going to come. And even if it does, like, I will find a way out, because I'm a resourceful, self-led individual that doesn't rely on the system for my safety and security, especially a system that never provided that in the first instance. So how does this play in, like, with the Nursepreneur Academy? Now, of course, I don't teach nurses to deregister and just, like, walk away, right? I mean, if that's what you want to do, you're your own boss. But inside the Nursepreneur Academy, I teach nurses, or the whole premise of it is that your degree, your skills, your transferable skills, your personal and your professional skills are a resource. They're not your career prison, right? So you get to choose what you keep and what you let go of and what you use and what you leverage. So most of our students in the Nursepreneur Academy are going to keep their registration. Of course they are, right? Because they're building their business. It would be so silly of me to say, hey, you should deregister the minute you join. That's not the case, right? You definitely must keep your registration, get a stable job as you build your business, you build those foundations, build some brand equity, offer some value ahead of time to your people, then you start selling. And then as you start to sell and generate income and you get consistent income, then you can have that conversation with yourself. That is not something I can advise you on, but I can coach you around it. But you will know. And that's what's really kind of like exciting for entrepreneurs. It's like they're creating that option for themselves where they become their own income generator. And that is the beauty of the online space in 2025. And others feel like they're tethered to something that they've outgrown, but they're still building that exit plan. And that's the smartest way to do it. But there's no right or wrong at the end of the day, only your truth and what you want to see come to fruition. So, I mean, I just like to play with the idea. Now, I just want to leave you with this, that as an aspiring nursepreneur, or maybe as a nursepreneur that's already doing your thing, imagine you get to wake up knowing that your income, your work, your impact isn't all tied to a job, an organization, a board that can take away your livelihood at any point. Because they can't, right? Somebody's pissed, they're going to report you, something can happen. I'm not fear-mongering here, it's just what happens, and I see this every day. In fact, someone messaged me last week in the exact same situation, and I've helped many nurses navigate these processes. They are horrible, and it's just not a good place to be. Imagine being able to create your business so grounded in your expertise, the things that you do really well, right? Your voice, it's authentic to you, your truth, so that you could start again tomorrow if you needed to, and you could thrive. So that every time you build a business, it is successful. I've built 3 businesses, all 3 of them have been successful. It's not because I'm a unicorn, it's because I understand what works and what doesn't work and how to build and grow a business. So I just want you to play with those thoughts. What could that look like for you? if you gave yourself permission to start a nurse-led business over the next 6 to 12 months, and then you allowed yourself to make nursing optional so that you could create more income, freedom, and impact on your terms. And so I'll leave you with this. Your nursing registration is optional when you build self-trust and skills beyond the bedside. Because whilst your registration might be your biggest security blanket, it also could become your biggest limitation as you build and grow a profitable nurse-led business. You can build a business that gives you total freedom where nursing becomes a choice and not a need. And I just hope to prove to be an example of what's possible in that space. Thank you so much for listening this week. I hope you don't mind a little bit of a vulnerable share. And I look forward to connecting with you across at the Nursepreneur Academy on Instagram. I'll chat to you soon. And send me any insights, questions, queries, comments that you had from this episode. I would love to answer them across on the Instas.
A pay rise bedside nursing could never provide. Freedom from hospital politics and the flexibility to work on your own terms without the shift work. You, my friend, are one step closer to creating your bedside escape plan. I want to hear your insights, takeaways, and questions. Connect with me over on Instagram at Nursepreneur Academy or email me at hello@liamcaswell.com. If you're the type of nurse that's ready to explore your options for building a nurse-led business, leave us a review, screenshot it, and send it to my email or my Instagram, and I'll send you my bedside to business roadmap, my step-by-step process to building a six-figure nurse-led business as a thank you. Until next week, keep dreaming big, taking bold action, and betting on yourself, because this is the year you make nursing optional.